Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Hamish McBain and welcome to Who Wants to Be a London Mayor?
We'll see, won't we? I want to expose the fact that he'll do a consultation and then take absolutely no notice of it whatsoever.
Yes, I'm really proud that I was the mayor who froze TfL fares between 2016 and 2021. What Londoners want to see is a mayor doing his job he's required to do by statute.
I'm descending into the deepest heart of London Underground. This 200-foot-long escalator I'm on, Angel, is London's longest, taking me down from Islington's busy A1 junction linking Clerkenwell to Highbury and onto the Northern Line, one of the capital's most complained about routes and a line that I use twice a day. In the second episode of the Standard's Mayoral Election Special Series, we're looking at a snapshot of our tube and road network, costs, reliability, safety, and what candidates need to do to impress voters. First, I sought some expert info on the current picture for transport policy with Michael Solomon-Williams, who's campaigns manager at the Borough-based Campaign for Better Transport. How do you rate Sadiq Khan's effectiveness in keeping London moving compared to his predecessors?
I think looking at the picture on London transport over the period that Sadiq Khan's been in office, it's a positive one overall. I think since the London Mayoralty was established, it's been generally positive. They've always been keen, from Ken Livingstone to Boris Johnson to Sadiq Khan, they've always been keen to invest in and support the transport network. We've not seen any detrimental change. If anything, it's been broadly positive.
What transport-related issue would you advise them to campaign on?
Long-term funding. At the moment, especially since the pandemic, TfL has had very short-term funding settlements, and that's really no good. If you want to see better public transport in London, if you want to see lovely new Bakerloo line trains, super fast Piccadilly line trains, more buses, anything that's good for transport, you need long-term funding guarantees from central government.
What would you say the best and worst routes in terms of complaints that you get from commuters?
The Bakerloo line ranks as the least popular, which personally I think is a bit of a shame because it's a lovely line. I'm slightly fond of the old rolling stock, but it's not the most popular as it happens. Whereas, in fact, the oldest line, that's the Metropolitan line, is the most popular. In terms of complaints and passenger satisfaction, we find issues around on the Northern line, central stretch of the Northern line that's often very congested. It has been a bit of an issue with changing bus routes. So a few bus routes were changed recently and people lost their bus routes. Particularly one, in fact, which went through the Kingsway Tunnel. That's an amazing tunnel if you know that sort of curious underpass around Kingsway coming down south from Holborn towards Aldwych. That's the only relic, in fact, of where there used to be a tram. I mean, London used to be covered in trams and it went through there. There was a bus which went on that route until last year and that's been cut. And routes like that, people find very challenging when they lose those routes.
So there it is, those customer satisfaction issues on the Northern Line. So what do you think? What's your view on the reliability, safety and value for money of travelling around London on public transport?
That's a difficult question because I've got a Freedom Pass. I'll chain myself to the railings if they try and take it off us.
It's actually very fine. It's cheaper to travel around London. But when there are strikes, that's when problems come up and it's so hard to travel.
Do you think there are too many strikes?
So many strikes. I don't actually go to work if there's a train strike because I live in Cambridge and work here in London. So when there's a train strike, it's just a big challenge for me.
Do you think Sadiq Khan's done a good job with the tube and the buses?
I'm not happy with what is happening at the moment with the transport. Very, very expensive. And at the same time, they've changed the route and it's very, very difficult. So it's very, very difficult. If I want to go to the city, I have to take about 3 buses before I can get there, and it's very, very difficult for us.
We moved here from Hong Kong about a month ago. I think it's actually better than what we experienced there. The staff are a lot more courteous, I have to say.
What single transport policy would you advise the next mayor to enact?
Timings. I live on an overground line, and it needs to be every 15 minutes, not every half an hour, and it's getting more and more and more packed. And it would be simple to do it for every 15 minutes. We've been trying for years.
But for the Tube and everything else, cast iron manifestos are still, unbelievably with polling day looming, a bit thin on the ground. What we do know so far is that Sadiq Khan's been squirreling away money for pre-election fare freezes. Conservative Susan Hall says she'll scrap the ULEZ expansion, the Green Zoe Garbutt wants free travel for 18 to 25-year-olds, and the Lib Dems' Rob Blackie will campaign on improved public transport accessibility. Let's go to the ads. Stay there for part two when we'll hit the road in a black cab. Why not hit follow in the meantime and give us a rating?
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back, and from the rail to the road. Cabbies say the city has become a square mile of frustration caused by road closures, including Bishopsgate, which saw the mayor and TfL, which Sadiq Khan chairs, winning a court battle with them a few years ago over closing the route to all except buses and bicycles. Now, data analytics firm Inrix reports it took a bus picking its way through a new low-traffic neighbourhood in South London 2 hours to travel 3 miles. It's all in a bid to cut pollution and improve Londoners' health. But what's the future for car journeys? And who better to ask than one of our licensed taxi drivers? So let's hop into a black cab and find out with an 11-year veteran of the capital's taxi trade, Suzanne Sullivan. Hey, Suzanne. Nice comfy back here. Suzanne, you've picked us up outside Moorgate. How is this area in general for cabbies? Is it tough working around here?
The work level is good because you've got a lot of people coming out from work putting their hand up, but the actual roads around here are almost impossible to drive around. They never used to be, but they've changed a lot.
You passed the knowledge, like, is it 11 years more?
12 years this October, yes. I'm in my 12th year.
October. And how has the experience of driving customers in London changed since then?
Massively, to be honest. London itself has become really difficult to move around. It's become like one giant car park. When I first got my badge, as I say, 11 years ago, it was great. You could move around a lot more freer. Today, you just literally sit in traffic most of the day. We have a lot more issues, especially with cyclists. They've improved roads for cyclists, but I don't think they've thought about the driver, the motorist, because even though they've got more cycle lanes, you still get very dangerous cyclists jumping red lights and on the road instead of in a cycle lane. So it becomes very frustrating because they protect the cyclist, but don't think they protect the motorist.
How do you rate Sadiq Khan's time in charge at City Hall?
Appalling, to be fair. For me personally, as a black cabbie, the challenges have become increasingly worse under Sadiq Khan's leadership. He hasn't done anything, as far as I can see, to help the black cab trade.
Are there any particular policy changes that have affected the cab trade?
The three-point rule. So now that all the roads have changed, you've got 20 mile an hour, where they used to be 30 mile an hour. And if a driver gets 6 points, there have been cases where their licence has been revoked or suspended. So that makes the job a lot tougher. You've got a lot more things you've got to watch out for. And as we have customers in the back often engaging and asking questions, it's important that we keep an eye on the road as well as a customer. But Sadiq Khan's made it a lot harder for us.
What transport policies would you like to see from the next mayor that would improve road conditions?
Well, I'd like to see, for example, a lot of the LTNs removed because they've made it impossible for us to deliver our customers safely. For example, you have a young girl at night that lives, for example, an area that comes to mind is Hackney. They've got loads of LTNs and you pick her up, you want to get her to the door safely. She's had a few glasses of wine and you can't do that. You have to drop her at the end of the road. Another thing that has happened over the last 8 to 9 years is the reduction of road space. So they've had a lot of lanes, for example, the embankment, where it used to always be two lanes going, say, from Parliament Square to the city of Canary Wharf. That's now one lane. It would be a lot easier if we had two lanes back, because that's doubled the time of the journey as a result of reduction of road space.
What do you think the future is for cars in general in London?
ULEZ doesn't really affect the taxi trade because, well, we don't have to pay ULEZ, but there are plenty of people that probably will be affected. Say, for example, I mean, my uncle's got cancer at the moment and he has to travel into London on a regular basis for treatment. And sometimes he's not well enough to get the tube or the train or the bus, so he needs to drive into London. So, you know, the cost for him to come in now is very expensive. And I just think it's unfair that motorists aren't taken into account as much as all the other forms of transport.
What do you think of Susan Hall, the Tory candidate for mayor? Do you know much about her?
I don't know much about her. I mean, what I would say is Sadiq's had plenty of time to try and improve things in London. And all I would say is we need someone else to be given a chance to do that. I just would be keen to see someone else try and improve London and the traffic and to support the black cab trade.
It comes as a Westminster University study reports the public health benefits of low traffic neighbourhoods can vastly outweigh the cost of building the zones. At the same time, TfL says the length of London's cycleway network has quadrupled under Khan since 2016, from around 56 miles to nearly 224 miles. So, what's a cyclist's view?
I think the cycle lanes are great whenever they're working. Potholes are an issue, and I think other drivers' speed and respect for cyclists are the biggest problem. I live in Rotherhithe, and I think that's really improving at the minute compared to how it used to be 5-6 years ago. There was nothing. Jamaica Road now has completely changed, and what used to be the most dangerous part of my journey is now the safest part of my journey. Central areas I find okay. It's whenever there's no clear cycle path, like there, I know there's symbols on the ground that clearly say that they're for cyclists, but pedestrians don't notice that, tourists don't notice that, and other drivers don't care about it.
Sadiq Khan's obviously done quite a lot for cyclists. Are you a fan of his?
I wouldn't say I'm a fan of his, but I do appreciate the things he has done to make cycling safer in certain areas.
And that's all from me for now. The producer for this episode was Mark Blunden. There's much more news and features in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.